Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Can we say that loudly? Merry Christmas. You know, I love Christmas. This is my 75th Christmas. How many of you have more Christmases than me? Ah, we got one, two. Oh, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Okay. I love Christmas. And you know, Christmas is really all about miracles. Do you believe in miracles? You know, the Bible is full of miracles. I brought a different Bible today. Can you see how old this is? This Bible is as old as I am. My father was a pastor, and this was my dad's Bible. He got it from the church in Tennessee where he was ordained. In 1951, the year I was born. And as I was thinking about Christmases this past week, I happened to see this Bible lying on my shelf and I picked it up. And I began to think of Christmases past. My father's gone to be with the Lord. He's been gone now since 2011, 14 years. My mom's still alive. She's 98. But her time probably is short. Her heart is failing. Her kidneys are failing. She's just worn out. You know, life, even if it's long, 98, is short. But every life is important. And at Christmas time, we should celebrate life. We should celebrate the miracles of the Bible. If I were to ask you, what are some of the miracles of the Bible? What would come to mind? Maybe the virgin birth, of course. Daniel in the lion's den. Walking on water. Parting the Red Sea. The man on the rooftop. The cripple that was healed. The star in the sky that led the wise men. Do you understand that if you're to believe in the God of the Bible, you must believe in miracles? My grandson is 19 and he has trouble with some of the miracles. He's a very logical young man. And he says, well, I'm not sure I can believe in the resurrection. But I say to him, if God can create the world from nothing, let there be, and there was. He can do anything. Amen? Even Mary, when Gabriel came to see her before she became pregnant with Jesus, when she said, how can I be pregnant? I'm a virgin. And he said to her, nothing is impossible with God. Christmas is a time for miracles. In his book, Miracles, C.S. Lewis, I don't know if you know C.S. Lewis, he's a brilliant theologian and scholar from England. In the 1940s and 50s is when he wrote most of his books, but he wrote a book, Miracles. And in chapter 14, he says, you know what the greatest miracle of all was? The grand miracle, he calls it, was God becoming man. The central miracle asserted by Christmas is the incarnation. They say that God became man. Every other miracle prepares for this one, or exhibits it, or results from it. I'm not going to chase all what he said right there, but the point is, this brilliant man said the greatest miracle of all was when God humbled himself and was born as a baby in a manger. Can you imagine? I want us to look at two chapters today, very familiar chapters. I'm going to start with John chapter 1. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the last time I was here, I preached the Christmas story to you. Do you remember it? From Revelation 12? The Christmas story is found in many places in the Bible. Phil, how can that be? Well, in Revelation 12, do you remember? A great sign appeared in heaven. A pregnant woman. Do you remember? And then a second sign appeared, a red dragon. And the dragon was going to devour the child. But the child was caught up to heaven. And then the dragon went to heaven and made war with Michael and his angels. And Michael and his angels defeated the dragon and his angels and threw them down to earth. Do you remember that? I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But that's the story of Christmas. It's the story of this baby being born in a stable. Of all the passages of Scripture, I think John chapter 1 tells us the whys and wherefores of Christmas. So I want to read it. And then after we read it and we talk about it for a few minutes, we're going to go to the Christmas story and read it together. All right? But I want your heart to be filled with the kind of joy you had as a child. Anybody remember that joy? How excited did you get for Christmas? Very. You know, now, you know what I get excited about at Christmas? Is watching my grandkids get their presents. To me, that's the best part of Christmas. They're so excited. And seeing them open those gifts and be excited about them and hugging and the smiles on their faces. But the greatest Christmas gift ever given was the first gift. The gift of Jesus Christ, who came as our Savior and our Lord. So let me read. The print's small as I read. My dad preached from this passage in 1967, from this Bible. So as I read it, I'm going back to those days as I heard my father preach. And I'm remembering so many Christmases. But in John chapter 1, you know the Christmas story is in Matthew and Luke. The story of the shepherds, the wise men, Mary, the angels. But in John, probably the last gospel that was written, John wanted to give the spiritual reality of what Christmas was all about. Does that make sense? Because we live in this physical world, but there's a spiritual world. Listen to what he said. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him and received him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses. but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, if we look at your word today and we think of the Christmas story, we're in awe. We just don't even know how to begin to thank you for sending your Son. And Father, sometimes we don't fully understand it. We're so caught up in this world today, the commercialism and the things of this world, that we fail to stop and consider the most important gift of all, the gift of your Son. So Father, slow us down today as we reflect on this important passage and as we remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that it would have an impact on every one of us, that would readjust, recalibrate our hearts, so that when we leave today, we'll leave with the Christmas spirit in our hearts, the Holy Spirit, because of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. What's the most memorable Christmas gift you ever received? You know, back when my wife and I were dating, I didn't have a lot of money, but I saved up, and for Christmas, I bought her a music box. It was an angel. And we used to play that music box, a beautiful hymn would play, Amazing Grace. And that music box played for years and years and years until it stopped working. I'm looking for a jeweler or somebody to fix it for me, if you know anybody. But you know, that's the way it is with our gifts. The gifts we give are temporary. Even the best gifts, you know, you get a new iPhone. How long is that good for? Maybe a few years, but then you want a new model. Our kid gets a bike and wears it out. But on the first Christmas day, the Bible says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, if you look at the passage, it's interesting to me that the author talks about Jesus, he says, was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word. Then he calls him, Jesus is the light, and Jesus is the life. In these verses, John the Apostle refers to Jesus as God himself. You know, some people say, well, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus was God. Jesus never referred to himself as God. That's not the message today, but yes, he did. You know, that's the reason they killed him, is because he claimed to be the Son of God and God himself. That's why. Jesus was either who he claimed to be, the Son of God, or he was a lunatic going around claiming to be God, or a liar. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the light. Now, how? He's the spiritual Word of God. He was the living Word of God. He came to earth and lived this perfectly. In the Old Testament, I don't know if you know this. By the way, I finished my first seminary class this last week. Did you know that? If you didn't know, I'm an attorney by training, although I've been ordained since 1997, but I started seminary in September. And we studied the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the first five books are called the Pentateuch, but they're also called by the Jewish nation the Torah. The Torah. What is the Torah? The Hebrew word for Torah is a male hand throwing or something forward like an arrow. The Jewish nation calls the Pentateuch the book for teaching children. It's the book for helping the next generation know who God is. And we believe this Bible is the same thing. The Bible says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And so we teach the Bible. Jesus was the Word of God, the spiritual Word of God, in a body. Everything he did was in total compliance with the Torah, with God's Word. He lived it. He embodied it. And he was and is the Word of God. But the Bible says he was also creator. Now, folks, when I get to heaven, I got a lot of questions for Jesus. I don't understand everything. My mind's not, can't grasp everything. But the Bible says that Jesus was with God in the beginning. When God said, let there be, Jesus was there. And by him and through him, all things were created. I don't understand how all that happened. But that's what this book says. What a great miracle that was when God created. Jesus is God. Jesus is creator. Jesus is the Word. And then it says Jesus is the life. What life? Spiritual life. If you look around in the world today, and I know the Bay Area can be pretty spiritually dark sometimes. Do you experience the spiritual darkness? The unkindness of people? The rudeness of people? The lack of the Spirit of God in people? Jesus is life. He's spiritual life. He came to bring spiritual life to all of us. And then it says Jesus is the light. What kind of light? Spiritual light. Jesus came because everything that they tried in the Old Testament didn't work. Go back to the Garden of Eden. A perfect place with no sin in the presence of God, and what did they do? They sinned. So God destroyed them with a flood. Now there's only one family, and this man follows God. Surely this family will repopulate the earth and they'll serve God. What happened? The Tower of Babel, he had to scatter them. Sin. So he chose Abraham and said, okay, I'll use Abraham, and through him I'll bless the whole world, and I'll give his descendants my word, printed word, and they'll live by that Old Testament. And Moses came and gave them the law, and what happened? They sinned. And he said, so none of that worked, so I'll send my only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So Jesus, John says, was in the beginning with God. He was God. By him all things were created. He is the Logos, the Word. He's the spiritual Word. He's the life. He's the light. But notice in verse 5 it says this, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Who was there when Jesus was born? Was there a lot of fanfare? Well, there was an angel. We're going to read about the angel choir. What about in that stable? No, the wise men came later. But no, when Jesus was born, the world didn't comprehend it. There was plenty of evidence in the Old Testament. The Old Testament points directly at Jesus. The Old Testament says he would be born in Bethlehem. The Old Testament says he would be despised and rejected of men. The Old Testament tells us so much about the Jesus that came. But when he came and shone his spiritual light in the darkness did not comprehend him. Do you know it's still true today? Do you have friends and family members that don't get you? They don't get this Jesus thing. They don't get why you serve him. They don't get why you go to church. They don't understand. Well, welcome to Jesus world. The Son of God came to earth, lived a perfect life, did nothing but miracles and help people. And what did he get for it? Crucified. Verse 5 says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. It was true for Jesus. They didn't recognize him. They didn't worship him. They didn't acknowledge him. Even the spiritual leaders of the day were at the front of the mob that put him to death. And it's still true today. If your light shines in this dark world, you're not going to be understood. But your job is to shine your light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember that song? So much truth in that little song. Shine all over creation. I'm going to let it shine. Because you see, Jesus came, the Son of God, the Creator, the Word so that we could have His Word in our lives, so we could have His life, spiritual life, so we can shine our spiritual light. But notice something else. Look at verse 10. He came to earth and He was misunderstood. In verse 10 it says this, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. Wait a minute. How can that be? Folks, you have to understand that sin and this world blinds people spiritually. The Bible says that unbelievers are spiritually blind. They're spiritually ignorant. They can't see the things we can see. They can't understand this. This is in a foreign language to them. They don't understand how you return good for evil. They don't understand how the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and kindness, and those things. Because in their world, in their physical world, the strongest win. You look out for yourself. I'm the one that got ahead. I'm the one that got this. There's no room for a God, a loving God. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. Oh. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you see that in Jesus? Do you see Him as the only begotten of the Father? Do you see Him as the Son of God? Do you see Him as the Creator? Do you believe in Him as the Word, the life, and the light? John's trying to help us see this is more than about just a little baby in a manger. That story is wonderful. But he's trying to help us see the spiritual implications. My Bible's falling apart. I'm going to drop it. The cover comes off. It's been around 75 years like me. Jesus is God. Jesus came to earth. He was rejected by His own. But look at verses 12 and 13. This is the beauty of the Christmas story. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh. Do you understand, and I pray you understand, the story of the Christmas story is about Jesus coming not for His glory, but to save sinners. But as many as received Him. What does that mean? Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him and received Him. Paul said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It makes no sense to somebody with a physical brain. It only makes sense when God illuminates, the light shines in your heart, and you believe that Jesus was who He said He was. John, in this first chapter, is trying to help us see all the implications of the Christmas story. And the purpose, He didn't come to earth for His good. Why did He come? For us. So we could be born again. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. And that word sons there is sons and daughters. Even to them that believe in His name. That believe He is God. That believe He is Creator. That believe He is the Word incarnate. That believes He is the life incarnate. That believe He is the light of the world. Notice it says He was born, and these people that are born again are born not of blood. That's a physical birth. They're not born of the will of man. nor of the will of the flesh, but they're born of God. Do you remember the day you were born again? I do. I even know the date. You know the date? Your spiritual birthday? I didn't know the date of being born again. My father was a pastor in a little church in Eureka, up on the North Coast, back in the 1950s and 60s. I still remember because we met in a chapel of an abandoned Catholic hospital. Imagine this huge hospital, and the only room being used is the chapel by a Baptist church, that new Baptist church. We're the only Baptist church in town with a confessional in the back. We had lots of fun with that, the kids. We played back there. But I still remember the night in that chapel that's now been torn down. I was 8 years old. My father preached a sermon, a gospel sermon. I don't remember the details. But I was under such conviction that I needed Jesus. I needed to be forgiven. I needed to be saved. And I remember going up and talking to him. He said, "Well, Phil, why do you come?" And he said, I just told him, "I need Jesus." I remember praying with my father, and I said, he said, "Well, pray after me. God, I believe in you. I believe in your Son. I believe he died for my sins. Please forgive me of all my sins and come and live in me as my Savior and my Lord." I'm telling you, when I said amen, I was like I wasn't touching the ground. I still remember it. Now, I have not lived for the Lord every day since then, but I've never doubted that I'm born again. Spiritually born again. What about you? Was there a time when you prayed that prayer? When you accepted God's gift that came to us wrapped as a little baby? Some people don't like the package that Christmas comes wrapped in. It doesn't make sense to them. What do you mean, angels and stables? And reminds me of a story by Anne Graham Lotz. Do you know who Anne Graham Lotz is? Billy Graham's daughter. Great speaker, by the way. I heard her speak one time at the prayer breakfast in Fresno. And she told this story. She said her mom was a bit eccentric in some ways, but she liked to buy special gifts for her kids. And she got this crumpled up package in the mail, just an envelope stuffed with tissue paper, and it was addressed to her. And she took the paper and says, "For Mom?" And she said, "Mom forgot to put anything in it." And she threw it in the wastebasket. Well, she was talking to her mom shortly thereafter, same day or the next day, and she said, "Mom, what is this? Why'd you send me an envelope with nothing in it?" And her mom said, "Nothing in it. There was a beautiful little brooch in there that I bought for you when I was traveling overseas with your father. A very beautiful brooch." She went to the trash can, pulled it out, and sure enough, down on the wadded up paper, there was this beautiful little brooch that she still has to this day. And she says, "You know, I threw away that precious gift because I didn't like the way it was wrapped." The gift of Jesus comes wrapped humbly in a way that the world doesn't understand, in a way it's hard for us to understand. But we have to accept the gift on the terms it's presented. Humbly. We have to humble ourselves. We have to say, "Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, there is a God. Yes, this is His Son." And we have to ask for forgiveness. And we have to invite Him into our life. Have you done that? Were any of you changed when you believed in Jesus and asked for forgiveness? I was young. I went to church all the time. I fought with my brothers. I've got scars to prove it. But I know I was forgiven. I don't know how much I was changed. I was 8 years old. But I know this. The guilt left. The shame left. I felt clean and new. Now, I still sin because I still live in this body, but the Bible says there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote that in Romans. The condemnation's gone. You've got to realize you're an imperfect person. All you can do is surrender yourself to Christ and the Lord every day and say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Make me more like your Son." through the power of the Holy Spirit, he can do that. Will you ever be perfect in this life? I don't think so. That's my belief. Some people preach that perfection is possible. I think maybe in heaven. Because we're human. That's why we have to forgive each other. That's why we have to love each other. Do you love those children who aren't always kind to you, or those sisters and brothers that aren't always kind? Yes. We're not perfect, but we're forgiven. Oh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The greatest miracle wasn't the virgin birth. The greatest miracle wasn't the wise men following a star. The greatest miracle wasn't that Caesar Augustus sent a decree out at the exact perfect time so they could, Joseph and Mary could go to Bethlehem where Jesus needed to be born. Do you imagine all the details that God had to work for this all to happen? The greatest miracle of all was that God himself chose to humble himself and become a baby and go through incredible suffering and rejection, so we could become sons and daughters of God. Can you say amen to that? We're going to read the Christmas story today. And as we read it, I want you to think, even though we're reading physically what happened, and if you'd like to turn there, it'll be on the screen, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I don't know about you, I like to memorize scripture. I memorized it from the New King James, and this is the King James, so I'm gonna stick with what's on the screen. But I love to run these verses through my mind as I'm driving and as I'm different places and just be overwhelmed by the grace of God that he would cause this all to happen. You know, I love from Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we could receive the adoption of children. So many places in the Bible we have the Christmas story, but this is the Christmas story, and I understand you're not having a Christmas Eve service, and I think Christmas without the Christmas story is empty sometimes, so I want to make sure we read it together. And as we read it, I want you to think about it. Ask God, Lord, show me something new in this story. Show me something I hadn't seen before. Show me the great price you paid to send your son to die for us. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They were terrified. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. A simple story about a birth of a poor little baby over 2,000 years ago. Do you realize, though, that that story was inserted after thousands of years of history into what the Bible is? It fit perfectly. Everything about it, every prophecy was fulfilled. Every promise was fulfilled. And only God could do that. Oh, there's many miracles in the Bible, and we Christians are people that believe in miracles. But the greatest miracle of all was God Himself became a baby so He could live as one of us, be tempted as one of us, never fail, and become the perfect sacrifice that was offered on that cross in Jerusalem so that forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit could be given to each one of us. What an incredible gift. You know, if you don't get any other gift this Christmas, I pray you would receive that gift. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You say, well, it seems too simple. Well, remember, sometimes people don't like the package gifts are wrapped in. That's the way this gift is wrapped. You have to humble yourself. You have to say, Lord, I don't understand, but I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe in you. I believe in your Son. I believe he lived a perfect life. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he arose from the dead. And I want him as my Savior today. Would you receive that gift? We're going to pray. And then we're going to sing so our singers can come. But this Christmas, as you are busy, 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 remember the greatest gift of all, the Son of God coming to die for you. Father, I pray for every person here today. I don't know them, but you do. I don't know their hearts. But Lord, there's some here today that think, you know, I've accepted Jesus, but I'm not worthy. I just can't live up to it. Father, none of us can. Humble that person. Help them to realize they'll never be good enough. Help them to just trust in you and just ask forgiveness of you. Lord, there's some here today that have heard this story many times, but they've never had the faith to believe it. So I pray today would be that day. Lord, draw them to you. No one can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. I pray your Spirit would draw them today. They would humbly pray that simple prayer of asking for forgiveness, believing in your Son, and accepting the gift of salvation, that precious gift. Lord, I pray that every family here today would receive that gift. Lord, there are children, our children, our grandchildren that don't know you yet, and today I pray for them. As we go be among our family, I pray we would be that light. We would be that word. We would be that life that they would see. And Father, even though they don't understand, I pray they would be drawn to you as well. So Father, do more miracles this Christmas season. Change more lives. Draw more people to you. Help them to see who Jesus is and accept Him as Savior. And those of us that already have Him as Savior, show us how to live for you and for Him as our Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song you may or may not know. Would you stand? It's called, O Come All You Unfaithful. How does that sound? It's a great new song. It talks about the fact that none of us are truly faithful, but we can come to the Savior anyway. I'll be here in front if you'd like to come and pray, maybe for a family member. You want to give your life to Christ. I'll be here as we sing, O Come All You Unfaithful.